All right, there we go. Is that better? All right, good to see you on a Friday night. So glad you're here this evening. How many of y'all having a good time? We'll start over. How many like those stories about Crazy Lou? How many seen people like Crazy Lou? All right, you're kind of scared of people like that, but man, they're good entertainment, aren't they? Especially if the service is going a little long, man, you just got to pay attention to Crazy Lou. We got Crazy Lou's in our church. Yeah, amen. See, they know what I'm talking about. We got crazies. One time we had like the Bermuda Triangle of craziness. We had the Screaming Amen guy, and then we had the I don't know what this is guy, and then, the drunk lady in the back. All right, well, we had to deal with that. And they're all involved in the service. And, you know, we were entertained and fed spiritually all at the same time. It was great. How many feel like you're sitting next to a Crazy Lou and you want to testify? All right. How many think you should leave Crazy Lou here for Brother Donald and the Loomis Park Baptist Church to deal with? Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, I am so glad to be here this evening. I'm always encouraged when teens come out on a Friday night. And that's just awesome. Brother Matt, thank you. What an awesome, awesome message. Appreciate that. And good to have you. Beautiful little baby there. That is just fantastic. Good, like all these little babies all over the place. Good night. Mine are like all growing up and everything. So just good to be here this evening. Well, as you all know, we just ended the presidential election. It's come and gone. And how many of you know, if you're on Facebook, you know it's just intense no matter what. It's just intense. And I think it's superseded entertaining. It's just downright crazy. All right? It's just nuts. I had the wonderful opportunity to open up Mike Pence rally on Monday. It was really cool. We took our 7th through 12th graders, went. It was in Traverse City. We took a bunch of our college students there. And it was at a hangar there at the airport in Traverse City. It was a pretty cool experience. Mike Pence got up and he said, I am a Christian, I am a conservative, and I'm a Republican, all in those order and all in that order. That was pretty cool. I was honored to pray, you know, wanted to do that right. It was a pretty neat experience, pretty cool to be a part of that. I was at a rally, I think it was in 2003. My son Luke at the time was just 5 years old, and we went to go see George Bush, George W. Bush, when he was campaigning for his second run for the office of the presidency. It was really cool. He came out. I mean, I got to tell you this. We got there, and we had some pretty good seats. I had a friend of mine that got us some pretty good seats. They really weren't seats. What it is, you had three different areas. You had where all the VIPs sit, and they got to sit up in all these bleachers. Then you had, like, where the podium was right here. It kind of came down like this. You had this cattle gate. All right, that kind of came around like this, all right like that. You had this little area, and when we walked in, I was right here on the corner. So when the president spoke, I was right there. And all these people just kind of came in. They got jam-packed in there. A lot of church people were up there. And man, well, this is like really cool because it just opened up. It was a beautiful day, and we were going to be there for a while. And so we're all there like, man, this is so cool. Well, if you've ever been to a rally like that, they don't play Christian hymns, all right? We got up there, and next thing you know, old song from Van Hagland. Yeah. Whoa, yeah. I've said that so many times. Van Halen comes on. It's like, da-da-da-da, like this, and all these church people. We're like, awkward. We don't know what to do. And I looked back. He was an associate pastor at the time. He's a missionary now to the Philippines, a good friend of mine, Will Griffin, a good man. And I didn't know what to do. I looked back. He's way back, and he goes, and starts headbanging like this. So I thought, all right, yeah. It's pretty wild. Man, when George Bush came out, he had he'd wear that blue shirt. He'd wear that blue shirt. He came out. Man, there he was. And, you know, I get the music going. Everything's all exciting. He's coming through. And in my mind, I even prayed, Lord, I'd love to be able to say I shook the president's hand. And so I'm like, man, this is going to happen. He's coming through. We're right there. And I got kind of excited. I thought, look, if he comes by me, I already knew I was going to say, Mr. President, I'm a preacher and I pray for you. I was just trying to think of something I could say. He comes walking, I'm standing here. He comes walking through and, you know, all this music's going. Everybody's all excited and everything. And I took his hand. I said, Mr. President, I said, I'm a preacher and I pray for you. Derek, I know who you are. You keep it up. We need men like you. I'm just kidding. He didn't really say that, but wouldn't that be like totally cool? No, I grabbed him like this, and I like this. I wanted to see how quick I could get in trouble by the Secret Service. But no, I did shake his hand, though, and he went back up. But I had realized, I got so excited, Brother Donald, I had Luke. He was just a little guy, like 5 years old at the time. I had Luke, and I went like this to shake his hand, and Mrs. Haglund got pushed out of the way. And I'm like, I got done. I'm like, you see, I shook his hand. You did see that. She wasn't thinking that was really funny because I pushed her out of the way. So now I'm like, oh, dear God, I need you. I don't even remember what he said, his whole speech. I'm like, God, please have him come back down here. Mrs. Haglund, I need you to let her shake her hand. It's going to be, I need a miracle right now. And they got done. He came back down. I got a picture of Luke. He's got it on his little eye touch or something like that. He's got a picture of it. And of him shaking the hand when he was shaking the hand of the president when he was 5 years old. Mrs. Haglund got to shake the president's hand. All right. Obviously, or I would not be here right now, okay? Because she could take me, all right? But anyways, well, that was really cool. I'll tell you another thing. It's really cool to see in the Secret Service, guys. We were just saw the real deal when we were with Mike Pence in Traverse City, and people are like, man, do they really wear the sunglasses? I'm like, yeah, do you not know why? All right, it's not just to look cool. You can't tell what they're looking at, okay? A lot of times they don't wear ties because you can grab a tie like that. They don't wear ties. They get the sunglasses because you don't know what they're looking at. I remember when the president was coming through, you don't see this on TV, but they're yelling at you. Get your hands out. Get your hands out. We want to see your hands. They're yelling at you. My hands are out, man. And the coolest story, my best friend at church, Joel Butler, they used to have a cabin up in Canada we would go to, and they had a room that was themed out. It was an American theme room. And there was a picture, it was my favorite picture. We had a church member there by the name of Greg Rood. He's gone on to heaven, but he had a really, really nice camera. He was taking really nice pictures that day. And there was a picture of George Bush came through here. Joel's the one that got me the tickets. Matter of fact, if you were here last year, Joel's the one that tried to kill me, all right, when I went out of Lake Michigan. Same guy. All right, you remember. I almost died. Thank you for remembering. Spared my life, okay? But anyways, came through. What happened during that day, we had been out in the sun so long, somebody during his speech had kind of fainted just due to the sun exposure and all that kind of stuff. So when he got over here, okay, there's all these Secret Services. It's really cool. You got U.S. Marshals and everything. They're just really, really cool. The guy that came through to put the actual seal, the president's seal on him, they just look like bad dudes, man. I'm just like, you start thinking, I wonder if I could have slapped the president's face. I wonder how quick before they'd get me, you know? And I'm telling you, when he came, am I the only person that thinks stuff like that? I wonder what would happen, you know? Ladies are like, we would never think that. How many guys would think of that? All right, thank you. We're not alone. When he got up speaking, I just kind of happened to look around. These Secret Service guys had popped up all over the place. I mean, it was just almost spooky. It was so weird. But when they got over here to where Joel was, that lady had fainted. And with all the music and all the hype that was going on, George Bush leaned into the crowd and he was asking, is she okay? And obviously she was okay, but he was just being a gentleman. Well, when he was leaning over, Joel was right here and he had this idea, I'm going to give the president a hug. All right? So he was leaning over and my friend Greg Rood, who's taking the pictures, was standing over here. And he the president's leaning in like this, and Joel, there's this picture snapped like this where Joel is looking at the camera like this, and his arms are like this, and you can see all these hands coming. It was like the moment before you realized you just made a really bad decision. It's like, I'm going to hug the president. No, I'm not going to hug the president. And so lots of fun, got a chance to do that, and very, very exciting to get to see things like that and do things like that. And you've heard so much about the election, and half of you don't even care because you're even old enough to vote. I mean, you care, but you can't do anything about it. But you know this past Tuesday that America voted for the next president of the United States of America. And whether you're pleased with the results or not, America made a decision. They made a choice. And the presidential decision is not just the only vote that was cast this past week. There were several decisions that were on the ballot. I had that with me, and I might have put it somewhere else. There it is. I have an actual copy of our voting guide. Now, they're different to some degree. On this one, it's a little copy of what I had when I went in the ballot. You've got the presidential election. Then you've got our representative for Congress for the 1st District, and then you got the 105th District. You got the Board of Education. A lot of people voted for that. But also, we've got our own township supervisor, clerk, treasurer, trustee. So they're different. It wasn't just go in and vote for the president. This was like one side. Here's the other side. It was one big long thing. But our county also voted concerning our library and a new fire truck. All right? So when we went into that voting booth, it wasn't just who do you want to be the President of the United States. There were all sorts of different things that we were voting on. So it wasn't just one little thing. And as we near the end of an election week, I thought I'd challenge you concerning votes that still need to be made, even though the election's over. You know, in order to vote in a presidential election, you must be 18 years old and you must be registered. But there is a voting process that you can be involved in. And by the way, I'm not just saying this to hype it up, it's the truth. The voting process that I'm talking about is way more important than what happened on Tuesday. You say, Brother Hagelin, what is that? These votes are for spiritual decisions that you get an opportunity to make every single day. It's what I call our most important votes. I want to speak to you just briefly tonight on this thought, casting our most important votes. Look, don't get me wrong. What happened this week, the voting that happened this week was very, very important. And the results, good or bad, they'll be felt for ages to come. But as important as they are, they were not the most important votes. You have your Bibles there at Joshua chapter 24. Would you look with me at some familiar scripture? Joshua 24, beginning in verse number 14. I'm going to read two verses. Honestly, I don't plan on being that long tonight. The Bible says in Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord," Joshua speaking, "and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Look at verse number 15, familiar verse. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." God's people had a decision to make. Joshua said, "You got a decision to make. We're crossed over in Jordan. We're going to make a difference. Now listen, you can either decide to serve God, the covenant God of the Jews, God Almighty, the God of the Bible, or you can choose the gods on the other side of the flood, the gods that your fathers served, the gods back in Egypt, or the gods in the other lands like the Amorites, or you can serve the Lord God. But you've got a decision to make. And I just want to let you know, I've already voted for me and for my family. And I want you to know, sometimes you ask people who you voted for, and they like to keep it private. Can I tell you something? Joshua said, I want everybody to know that me and my house have decided we're going to serve the Lord. And can I tell you something? The challenge is the same. There's all sorts of other gods you can serve. You can serve yourself and make yourself a god. You can serve a sports figure and make them a god. And I like sports, but I'm just saying you can take music. You can take anything and make it a god. And just like Joshua said, I want to say to you, as for me and my house, look at Tuesday was important, but not as important as it was Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, and this morning. I had to walk into a spiritual voting booth and make some decisions and decide, am I going to serve the Lord or not? You say, well, Brother Hagelin, I'm not old enough to vote in the presidential election. That means diddly squat compared to voting spiritually. And you don't have to be 18 to do that. God's people had a decision to make. Joshua put a challenge to the people of Israel. Joshua publicly declared his decision, and he boldly cast his vote to serve the Lord. And may I say this? This wasn't just a one-time decision. This was every day. And I say this, not that you're playing games, but I say this, enough games. It's time to vote. It's time to choose the Lord. I want to just throw a couple votes at you that I think you should consider making, and then we'll be done this evening. I want you to consider what I call our most important votes. The first one is this. I want you to consider making a vote tonight. You're going to come to the altar, and you got a spiritual voting box right here. You're going to come in, and you're going to make a decision. And I think one of those decisions ought to be, I want to make a vote that we obey God's word. Amen. That we obey God's word. And may I say this, it's a daily decision. It's not like one time I decide I'm going to serve God. We all struggle. I got to wake up just like you do and decide, am I going to serve God today or not? Because you know what? Better men than me aren't even in the ministry anymore. Better people than you don't even go to church anymore. But they used to go to church. They might have invited you to church and they don't even go. The very person who had the biggest part in getting me saved and getting me to church doesn't even go to church anymore. Can I tell you something? The same thing can happen to me. So you know what I have to do tomorrow? I have to decide, hey, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And the next day, as for me and my house, I'm making my vote. I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to have to keep voting and voting and voting. Can I tell you something? I'm a little bit older, as Donald would say. I'm an old grandpa. I'm 42 years old, but I can tell you this. I got right with God when I was 19 years old and I started voting. And all through my 20s, I have been living for the Lord. I've not been perfect, but I've been in church trying to live for God. All through my 30s, the door on my 30s has been closed, but I made a vote every single day to serve the Lord. Some days I did better than others. Can I tell you something? I'm traveling through my 40s. Look, if you want a life that says, God, here you go, here's my whole life, it'll be made up of days that we decided to live for the Lord. So I don't care how old you are, you have to vote every day. And you voted today, whether you knew it or not. You either voted to obey God's word or you voted not to obey God's word. You say, Brother Hagin, what are you talking about? 1 Samuel 15:22 says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. I'm glad you're in a meeting. I'm glad you're involved in things. But if you don't obey God, can I tell you something? Someone said activity is never to be a substitute for spirituality. Just because you're going places and doing good things doesn't mean you're spiritual. You want to be spiritual? You want to try to be spiritual? You got to try to obey God's word. I kindly remind all of us that as Christ followers, we ought to be biblicists first. That means this book is my final authority. That means I'm a person of the book. We ought to be people of the book. Every day, I want to cast my vote for God's word. Every single day, we're responsible for the light that we have. You don't have to know everything here. I don't expect you to be a theologian. But what you do know, you are responsible for. So, Brother Hagin, how do I cast my vote? You do what the Word of God says, whether you like it or not. You, no matter how you feel, I'm in a good mood, I'm in a bad mood, I'm in a happy mood, I'm in a sad mood, it doesn't matter what kind of mood I am, I've already made my vote. Lord, it might be difficult, I might have some difficult situations, but I made a vote this morning that no matter what, I'm going to try to honor God's Word. And if I mess up, I'm going to ask you to forgive me, but I'm going to vote. I may have to vote several times today, but I have made my decision, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. Can I get an amen? We need some young people to come to the altar tonight and say, I've got some difficult situations, but I'm casting my spiritual vote tonight. This book is going to be my everything. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to try to follow it. I'm going to just trust it that it's going to work out the way it's supposed to if I obey this book. Second vote we need to make is for our country. You know, it was funny. I was at this rally and I opened up in prayer and I really thought about what I wanted to say. And I mean this. I mean this. My opportunity was to pray and I got up and I said, you know, if my guest doesn't show up, or I said, if my guest shows up, it seems like everything else goes better. So I said, let's pray and ask my guests to show up. And I ended my prayer quoting a portion of 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and then will I forgive their sin and will heal their land. Mike Pence ended his rally by quoting portion of the same scripture. I think one of our teenagers came up and says, dude, he quoted your prayer. I'm like, it's like, I was quoting the Bible, you idiot. All right. He wasn't quoting me. He was quoting, you know, the Word of God. But nonetheless, I thought it was really cool. But you want to know what? It is not unspiritual and it's not wrong to be patriotic. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being patriotic. There's nothing wrong with loving your country as long as you've got a balance. Some of these people involved in the election, they're so passionate about the election, but you want to know what? I've got family members. I've got family members that are die-hard liberal Democrats. I'm talking to the fullest extent that you can be. And you know what? Some of the things I see them post, it frustrates me to no end. But who gives a flying rip what I'm going to have if I get an argument with them and I convince them that they're wrong, now they get to go to hell believing that I was right. All I want them to do is get saved. I want God to work in their heart. But can I tell you something? Some people are so, passionate about their country and about politics, they're going to die and go to hell. The most important thing is the Lord. So you got to keep it in balance. But throughout the Bible, God wanted His nation to be special. And He wanted His people to think so. They were different. We were God's people. And there are instructions and warnings to peoples and nations. As a matter of fact, God said, it's righteousness that exalteth a nation. So how do I vote for my country? You vote by praying, calling on God's name, humbling yourself, seeking His face, and turning from your wicked ways. And you can do that in a whole bunch of different ways. But if you're going to walk the aisle, you say, I'm going to vote for obedience to the Word of God. I'm going to vote for my country. If you're going to vote for your country, then that means you're going to seek God's face. You're going to pray. You're going to humble yourself. And you're going to turn from your wicked ways. If you really love your country and you want God to heal your land, I find it interesting. A lot of people that quote that scripture happen, especially politicians, happen to leave out, turn from your wicked ways. But if we really want God to heal our land, thirdly, I want to vote for souls. Amen. Jesus voted for souls, didn't He? He said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You say, what kind of spiritual votes do we need to make? That I want to obey God's word. I want to make a vote for my country. I want to pray, seek God's face, humble myself, turn from my wicked ways. I want to make a vote for souls. You say, what are you talking about? There's no doubt that God's heart is souls. God's heart is the lost. And Jesus would lay down His life and become sin so that we could have a way to heaven. There's no joy in heaven over one person that dies and goes to hell. For God so loved the world. You say, I want to vote for souls. Here's how you vote for souls. You say something. You talk to your friends. You talk to those. You do it with compassion. You do it with kindness. You pass out a tract. When you pass out a tract, what you're saying is, I cast my vote. I'm voting for souls. You say something to your friend. You're casting your vote. You're trying to witness to somebody. You're praying for somebody. You're casting a vote for souls. Can I tell you something? The two people that got saved tonight, it's the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to you. Look, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you got saved. And now you've got the Holy Spirit in your heart. You ought to want to get your mom and dad saved, to get your friends saved, to get everybody saved. When you do that, what you're saying is, I cast my vote. I cast my vote for souls. You say, Brother Hagelin, we're going to walk into the spiritual voting booth. What should I vote for? That I want to obey God's word. I want to vote for my country. I want to vote for souls. Fourthly, I want to vote for my church. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When we come together, that's one church. Church isn't just these buildings. Of course, we understand Loomis Park Baptist Church, but you understand, you're a church when you come together. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So look, I want to vote for my church. He said, Brother Hagelin, I love my church. And I believe that church plays a very important part. I remind all of us that church was God's idea. And a gathering of God's people to worship and pray and seek God and study and exalt God. There's no middle ground. Either you vote for your church or you vote against your church. You say, Brother Hagelin, how do I vote for my church? By being faithful and going. When you walk in the doors of your church on Sunday morning, what you're doing is you're saying, I voted for my church. So how else can I vote for my church? By serving. Go to your youth pastor's wife. What can I do? What can I clean up? What can I help? How can I help? How can I serve? You don't have to be an adult to serve. You can serve as a teenager. You heard that already tonight. You can serve as a teenager. When you're serving the Lord as a teenager, what you're doing is saying, I made a vote for my church. You say, how else can I vote for my church? Give. You might not have a lot of money. If you've got a little bit of allowance or a little side job, give. Give to missions. Give to your church. Can I tell you something? When you give to your church, you're saying, Lord, I voted for my church today. I voted for my church. And lastly, another vote we need to make is for our Savior. You know, I'm reminded of a sad portion of Scripture. Ironically, John chapter 6, verse 66. John 6, 66. Jesus had quite a following. I imagine it was fun to see all the miracles and hear Him. Could you just imagine hearing Him preach? I mean, just with power and authority, and everything He said was spot on. And for a time period, I'm sure it was kind of fun. And did you see what He just said? Did you see what He just did? Wow, this is amazing. And then His message got narrower and narrower because He was headed to the cross. And now He was saying things, and some of the people are going, whoa, that's a little too intense for me. And the Bible says in this verse, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? I love the Lord with all my heart. I'm afraid sometimes my actions and my thoughts say differently, unfortunately. Every day we're presented with opportunities to cast a vote for our Savior Jesus Christ. We wake up, we have a new day. The question is, will we place any effort into following Christ closer? I remind all of us that He already casted His vote for us. Before you were ever born, Jesus became your sin. He hung on the cross, or He was saying to every single one of you in here, He'd say, I am voting for you to make it. I've cast my vote. I so love the world. And what He's saying is, will you cast your vote? Follow me. I think about Matthew sitting at that receipt of custom, that tax collector, that wicked man. I don't know how it transpired, but just a few words. He just looked at him with his eyes. He said, follow me. And Matthew left everything and followed him. Boy, I wish it was that easy, Brother Donald. We got to do invitations. We got to do programs. I'm not against any of that. We got to get people all stirred up. Don't you just wish the Holy Spirit could just say, follow me, and we just do it immediately. Can I tell you something? He was preaching, and many of them turned back and didn't follow him anymore. He turned to his 12. He said, will you also go away? Not every disciple of Christ cast that vote. Sometimes we get cold, don't we? Sometimes we drift, don't we? Like the story Brother Matt told. Sometimes we drift and we get away. Sometimes we can even cast a vote that says, I'm done, I quit. By the way, that doesn't mean that a person left the church, but they may have given up inwardly. Dr. Sexton at Crown College, when I was in Bible college, he used to say, the battle is in the heart and mind. That's where it's won and lost. You could be sitting in church and not really be in church. You understand that. Things got difficult. They got hard. Many of Christ's disciples left Him. They walked with Him no more. As we learn through this election that there are states that you can cast your vote if you voted early, and you can change your vote. You can go back and change your mind. These disciples voted to follow Christ, and guess what they did, Brother Donald? They changed their ballot. They said, I'm voting for Jesus. I'm going to follow Him. And it got tough before the actual Calvary election happened. And guess what they said? I'm changing my ballot. I'm not following you anymore. And unfortunately, there's been a host of good young people that used to come to conferences like this or rallies like this that voted that they're going to follow Christ for the rest of their life. And they changed their ballot. If I can say it like this, when Jesus turned to His 12 disciples and said, will you also go away? I think He was saying in our 21st century vernacular, you're going to change your ballot also? You voted for me, you're going to change that? Remember Demas? He changed his ballot, didn't he? He forsook the Lord for this present evil world. So how do I vote for the Savior? You get up in the morning, you open up this book, read a portion of God's Word. You spend a little bit of time in prayer. Guess what you're doing? Whether you know it or not, you're saying, Lord, I'm voting for you. I'm voting for you. You spend some time fellowshipping with God. You have something cool that happens. You say a little prayer and you just praise again. Like, Lord, I just want to say, thanks. I prayed that you'd help me with that test and I did better. I thought, thanks for helping me. Every time you're talking to the Lord, you're praising Him, you're worshiping Him, what you're really saying is, I'm voting for the Lord. Look, America cast their vote for the next president, and they'll continue to do so every 4 years. But we have an opportunity to cast a spiritual vote every single day. My question is, who are you voting for? And are you going to vote every day? Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to vote. I'm going to have the tour group come up. And Brother Mark, if you want to come up, I've made these little bookmarks. Thought maybe you could put in your Bible or something like that. It just says this. It says, I cast my vote. Joshua 24:14-15. I'm going to be obedient to God's word, my country, souls, my church, my Savior. I cast my vote. And if you're serious, and I know that you're serious about following God, but in just a moment, they're going to sing, the altar's going to be open. And I'm looking for some young people to say, no, Brother Hagman, I just don't want a little cute bookmark. No, I'm coming saying, Brother Hagman, I want to cast my vote. I want to cast my vote for the Savior. I want to put this in my Bible. I want to look at it every day and say, dear God, I don't understand everything, but I want you to know I'm casting my vote for you. I don't care what this world does. I'm not changing my ballot. I've decided to go on with you. Our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed. Let's stand to our feet as the piano begins to play just before you.